This is Stephen Strang. The 2020 presidential election is almost exactly a year away. Can you believe it? I've never seen an election heat up so early. In fact, in some ways, the election of 2016 never really ended. And today I'm going to talk to one of the evangelicals who is most respected for knowing what is going on politically. Many of you know him. He's Ralph Reed, and he's my guest today on the Strang Report to give us insight into what's happening with this election. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Ralph Reed, we're almost exactly a year ahead of the election. Of course, podcasts, you know, stay online and people listen to it over a period of months. But
right.
Looking at the 2020 election, particularly with the reelection of President Trump, what do you think is going to happen?
You know, in a lot of ways, Steve, it reminds me a lot of when I worked for George W. Bush in 2000 and 2004. I was a part of that first campaign from the beginning. He was and remains a dear friend of mine. And then we went through the 02 midterm and then 04, which was very hotly contested, came down to about 100,000 votes in Ohio. Okay. And what I mean by reminding me of that is because that election went to the Supreme Court, because it was decided by a Supreme Court decision involving the recount in Florida, that election never really ended. We just kept going. And if you look at the 04 map and the 00 map, they're identical with two exceptions. Bush carried New Hampshire in 00 and then lost it in 04. And Bush lost New Mexico in 00 and won it in 04. Other than that, the map of those two elections is identical. I'm not predicting anything. I'm not a prophet. I'm not in the prediction business. I'm not a pundit. But looking at it today with a year to go, it looks to me like this election never really ended and it just kept going. The other side has never accepted Trump as a legitimate president. They've argued that his election was decided or determined or delivered. His victory was delivered by a hostile foreign power. They've refused to accept that they lost and lost fair and square. And they're coming in the biggest numbers we've ever seen. And I think it's going to be intense and hard fought. It's going to be the most expensive election in U.S. history. We're projecting somewhere between $6 and $8 billion. Half of that or more will be spent by the presidential campaigns themselves. And I think it's going to come down to 3, 4, or 5 states. Most of your listeners know what those are: Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Florida, North Carolina. And then you might look at a Colorado, New Mexico, maybe Ohio. We'll see.
Now, it's well known that a lot of church-going evangelical Christians are very passive when it comes to elections. A lot of them not even registered to vote. And a lot of those who are registered to vote stay home. This happened in 2012, where a lot of people just could not bring themselves to vote for Mitt Romney and stayed home.
Right.
And in my opinion, it may have even been the deciding factor on Obama getting a second term.
Could have been.
And I talk to people, and I'm mostly around conservatives. I mean, that's just what my life is. A lot of the people I talk to think that the left is so crazy, going towards socialism so hard, and some of these other radical things, that a lot of people that are in the middle that might, you know, be in unions or something and historically vote Democratic are going to vote for the president, and he's a shoe-in. If they think he's a shoe-in, they're going to stay home.
Yeah.
And the other side is so energized, and I hate to say it, but in many instances so corrupt. I mean, where certain people don't win, and then at the last minute, while they're counting votes, they find boxes full of absentee ballots, and nobody goes to jail over that kind of corruption. I'm concerned that this election could go the wrong way. What do you think?
Let me say this. I went to the University of Georgia, so I'm a Georgia Bulldog. And, you know, when we played Vanderbilt back when I was there, you know, we had Herschel Walker and won a national championship, and he won the Heisman Trophy. When we played Vanderbilt, you know, who you would normally beat by 40 or 50 points, when Vince Dooley, the head coach, did his pregame news conference, he always talked about how tough the other team was, what a talented passer the other quarterback was, how the other running back was probably going to be a number one draft pick and how good their defense was. If you go into a contest with these kind of stakes, with overconfidence or arrogance or hubris, I can virtually guarantee you're going to lose. And if you don't believe me, just look at the way Hillary conducted herself. Her, the media, David Plouffe, who was the campaign manager and then later a senior political advisor to Obama, or maybe it was the other way around. I think Plouffe managed the 2012 campaign, was a senior advisor to Hillary Clinton, and he went on MSNBC before the election, and he said Hillary had a 0% chance of losing. Zero. So you don't ever want to act like that. What I would say to people is this. The president won because of about 80,000 votes spread out over three states. Michigan, which he won by a little more than 10,000, Wisconsin, which he won by 22,000, and Pennsylvania, which he won by about 60,000. That's it. That was out of 131 million cast. Let me give you one other data point that should focus the mind of your listeners. In 2014, the midterm election before Trump became president, Senate on the line, governors, every seat in Congress, 83 million Americans went to the polls. 83 million. This is before Trump became president. In 2018, the first midterm after Donald Trump became president, 114 million people went to the polls. That was 57% higher than just 4 years earlier. And it was the biggest turnout as a share of adult eligible voters since before World War I. And no one can predict what's going to happen, because if you have a similar increase in turnout, Steve, in 2020 over the 2016 baseline, you could have between 150 and 170 million votes cast. A lot of those people not only will have never voted before, many of them aren't even registered yet. So anybody who tells you what's going to happen doesn't understand what's getting ready to happen.
Well, how can we get more people on our side to register to vote and fired up and realizing that, you know, we don't have time in a short podcast to go into it, but life as we know it as Christians with our religious liberties and with a lot of the cultural things that are happening will just, you know, if the other side gets in, it's going to be bad news. And Christians have to realize that they cannot be complacent, that we have freedoms in this country and we need to take advantage of those freedoms and try to get this president reelected, because as imperfect as he is, and of course, there's a lot said about that and we could talk about that. There's no point.
Right.
But he is our champion and he has come through on his promises again and again. And we've got to get him back into a second term to finish what he started. And also to stop the other side.
Yeah, it's a lot to cover in what's remaining of this podcast, but let me give you the executive summary. Number one, remember that the other side is going to turn out in the biggest numbers you've ever seen in a presidential election. It'll be bigger than Obama in 08, okay? They're registering hundreds of thousands of voters already in all the battleground states. So that means our number one priority, and we estimate in my organization, Faith and Freedom Coalition, that there are between 17 and 25 million evangelical born-again Christians who are either not registered to vote or they're registered but not currently voting. And it's about half and half. You know, we're looking at census tract data. We're looking at big data and data analytics. We think on the low side, it's 17 million. On the high side, it's 25 million. Now, that's going to matter most in the states I've already mentioned. So we need to make sure that our churches, our pastors, our parachurch ministries, as an act of Christian citizenship, without endorsing a candidate, are making sure everybody's registered to vote, informed, and turned out. And I would just say this, Steve, in response to what you said about what the president has done in terms of being our champion. If after what he did on Israel, recognizing Jerusalem, moving the embassy, and recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan, after what he did by pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal so that the mullahs in Tehran who want to destroy Jews and Israel and Christians don't obtain weapons of mass destruction, after what he's done on religious freedom, what he's done on life, and what he's done to keep his word on two Supreme Court picks and another 160 federal judges that are pro-life and for religious freedom, if the Christian community doesn't rise up like it never has in modern political history. And if we allow through our inaction the left to remove this man from the Oval Office, then we will deserve everything that we get. And if they get the White House back, it will be open season on Christian ministries, on churches. The IRS will be able to persecute those faith-based organizations again. They will, under Obamacare, be able to force them to pay for abortion again. They will be able to sue the Little Sisters of the Poor and drag God-fearing nuns into federal court again to make them pay for abortion. That's what will happen. And if we don't turn out and vote in the biggest numbers ever, then we deserve it to happen. And I hope and pray it doesn't.
I so appreciate Ralph taking time to do this interview. I actually interviewed him extensively for my new book called God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, which releases January 14th. We'll be saying a lot more about the book later. It is already available on Amazon.com if you want to get it in advance, but it's really too early to promote. But I wanted to just mention that I go into a lot of these things, and the whole book, it's about the election, which is only a year from now. So thank you for listening to the Strang Report, and stay tuned for a special offer that I will give at the very end. This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which costs around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now let me repeat, you get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.